is Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
That's Dennis Howland. He's one of the employee owners of Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Facebook is down. Sorry. I still got to work on that. I shouldn't have updated the Microsoft operating system. I should have listened to my own damn show and just said, don't do it. Don't do it, Eric. Don't update Microsoft. But I did. And I'm paying the price for it, but sorry about that. I'll keep working on it. I just can't get the USB ports to talk anymore to all the devices that are required to make this work. So, we're still here live and we're on the air here. And then we thank GoNetSpeed for the commercial-free interruptions, which is awesome. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And also at 10:05-ish, we'll have Wes Bryan on and we'll chat a little bit about the model collapse possibilities of AI and how maybe your investment in AI might have been .com bubble-ish as far as I'm concerned. Not that I don't think AI is going to be a great thing in the long run, but it looks like there's some things they got to work out.
I mean, it's a little early in the process.
Yeah. So feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. But as usual and customary, we like to talk about technology news. And you guys might have remembered, you know, Americans have like the shortest memory span of all humans walking on the planet. But just a couple weeks ago, there's a big issue with computers. You remember that, Dennis?
I kind of vaguely remember something.
Yeah. The entire, you know, eight and a half million systems were down thanks to CrowdStrike. Well, they spoke to the CEO of Delta, Ed Bastian.
Okay.
And there's an article on CIO Magazine that we'll put up there for you guys. And the headline is Delta Airlines to Rethink Microsoft.
Oh.
In the wake of CrowdStrike outage. Well, if you listen to my show, you'd be rethinking Microsoft every day. But
in addition to other things.
In addition to all sorts of things. We'd be back to paper and pencil, actually. the widespread outage caused by, you know, the CrowdStrike really hammered the folks at Delta to the tune of about $500 million in costs from lost 5,000 canceled flights, not to mention all the hotels they had to put people up in. And then, of course, all the costs of the IT folks to go around. And they had to manually reset some servers, Dennis.
Oh, yeah, I imagine.
Right, because they were blue screen of deathing.
Yeah, yeah. And that you got to get hands on them.
Yep. And so, you know, they have a couple servers over there at Delta.
Okay.
So do you think they had to reset 1,000 servers?
Well, 1,000, maybe a little bit more.
How about 2,000?
Yeah, I'm thinking they might even have 4,000 or 5,000.
How about 10,000?
They could have that too.
How about 20,000? They had to touch.
Wait! What are we talking about here?
They had to manually touch 40,000 servers.
40,000?
Yes. Thanks, Microsoft. Yes, that's going to cost you a lot of money and a lot of time. And yes, Pothole Pete might notice that. And the Fed is investigating Delta. And, you know, the thing about this CEO, right? I mean, he's upset, you know, $500 million. We have no other choice but to sue for damages. You know, they didn't even offer any kind of advice from Microsoft. This is not uncommon of IT providers.
Right.
You know, oh, I'm sorry, you're down. Our warranty says our stuff isn't, you know, has no merchantability. So yeah. What do you want us to do?
As a matter of fact, even CrowdStrike even said, do not put our software on a production system.
Pretty much they did, didn't they?
Yeah.
And according to the CEO, they spend hundreds of millions of dollars in redundancy. Well,
really?
Yeah. Right. The thing that he mentioned that's kind of interesting, people don't realize that Microsoft and CrowdStrike are at the top. They're the top two competitors around cyber with each other.
Whoa.
Right? Think about it. We talked about this before. Microsoft makes $20 billion in cybersecurity protecting you from them.
Wow.
Right? That's right. The craziest thing. And he's kind of right about that. So they're going to rethink Microsoft. And one of the things that are part of the article was we haven't heard of Apple going down like this.
Well, we might not have heard about it,
right?
But it happens.
It does. There's a lot less Apple devices out there.
Right. It doesn't make the news when it happens.
So as far as I'm concerned as the CEO, he's kind of on the right track, but I heard no mention of his board of, you know, oversight of Delta, who should have been asking the CEO, "Hey, how's your chief technology officer. Has he got everything set up? Have you done some disaster recoveries? What would happen if you brought down half of your 40,000 servers? Do you have a way to get that back up and running? And clearly they didn't.
No.
So not that we do. I do agree that, you know, you should rethink Microsoft. You should.
Yes.
Because it's not like the old days, right, Dennis? In the old days, you as a IT person within your organization could not allow servers to update. You could say, I want this to run like this, period.
Right.
And don't touch it. Don't update it. Microsoft, don't do any of your goofy updates that blow and cause all sorts of issues.
Right.
It's working. We're going to schedule that update and we're going to test it first before we release it.
Right. And that's built into the what Microsoft calls the enterprise version of Windows.
You'd think it is, because clearly it's not a Delta.
Well, I mean, the thing that I'm wondering about is why, if they can afford to have 40,000 servers,
yeah,
why can't they afford to have maybe 1,000 running in like a test bed, and you let those update first?
Right.
And then you see what happens with those.
Right.
Why? And then only after they're okay do you let the rest of the 40,000 get their update.
Exactly. Well, because, again, they're all directly connected. They're cloud-connected systems right up against the bad guys, which, again, I would contend is not a smart thing.
Yeah.
We need to do better at not doing this anymore. We cannot have everything connected. ECHN, right? That whole thing got hammered here in Connecticut, but across the whole country they were impacted with all their hospitals.
Right, because the owning company was interconnected with all of them, and that was where the hack occurred.
Right, so why do we do this? It seems like a huge flaw in how we approach cyber in general. And so rethinking Microsoft, good start, right? I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Maybe don't put all your eggs in one cloudy Microsoft basket. It's obvious to hopefully everybody that there's a problem here, and it's Microsoft, and they've always had that issue.
Right, and there's an IT term called air gapping.
Yes.
And it doesn't look like Delta does that.
No, no.
And maybe they should open up that IT dictionary and look that up.
That would be a good start, Dennis.
But, hey, what do I know? I've just been in the business for a long time.
Yeah. He never mentioned his chief technology officer. He never mentioned his disaster recovery planning. This is all the stuff that they should have already planned on, right? Because if you look at an airplane, I think if you're a pilot, there's many redundant systems inside an airplane. You don't just have one, you know, system. You have a co-pilot. There's a redundant pilot. You have redundant, you know, hydraulics. You have redundant. You don't have one engine on the plane. You have four or two, right? You're redundant. When you put all your eggs in the Microsoft basket, redundancy is something you really need to talk about. And he says he has it, but clearly he doesn't know what to do with it. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars, he says, on redundancy, but clearly that didn't work.
Yeah. And if they even if they're spending that kind of money on redundancy, it's not the right kind.
Clearly. So we'll see what happens there with their lawsuit. I wish him the best. I wish him the best. They hired a guy who's already taken on Microsoft.
Ooh.
Right, Boise, is the name?
Oh, David Boies.
Boies, yeah. So, and you know, Boies did some damage in his day as far as that goes. So,
oh yeah.
We need to start holding these companies accountable. We cannot let their actual warranty say that their product is not warranted to do anything that it is intended to do. Good luck. That's really what their warranty says.
It boggles the mind that they are legally able to sell anything under those terms.
So what else do you want to talk about, Dennis?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about Tesla.
Okay, what's Tesla doing?
Well, we got a couple of issues with Tesla.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Number one, Tesla has issued a recall of 1.85 million vehicles.
That's a lot of cars.
Yeah. Mm. And it is over unlatched hoods.
Oh, brother.
Now,
come on, Elon.
What's really interesting is how they're addressing the issue.
Yeah, okay.
You would think that if the hoods become unlatched, you'd have to bring it to the shop and they'd have to fix the hood, right?
But there is no shop. That's another problem.
No. What they're doing is they're releasing a software update.
Oh, I thought they were going to release some duct tape that you tape it down. Okay.
Well, yeah, universal repair tool.
Yes. All right, tape it shut.
But right. At any rate, what they're doing is it's not really a recall in that people don't have to bring the cars in, but they are issuing a software update to add monitoring of the latch on the hood,
right,
so that the driver gets alerted if the hood isn't latched.
And the thing about a Tesla hood is that's kind of something you use more often than most of us do, because I haven't opened my hood for any reason whatsoever because I can't even change my own oil. I'm not good at that. We all have our skill sets. I don't open my hoods, right? Why do I need to? Or I have to charge a battery maybe because the battery died. Yeah. But with a Tesla hood, you actually have storage space and you're constantly opening that thing.
Right, right. It's not like a conventional engine car where the hood stays shut all the time.
Right. So there's lots of reason why you could maybe not close it all the way, and it could then flip up on you when you're flying down the highway and the autopilot there, and at least it doesn't matter. You can't see. At least the car can see where it's going.
Right. And the other issue that Tesla has, this is mind-blowing why people would do this. I can't conceive of it.
How did it become a thing?
Apparently, you can speed up the rate of charging on your Tesla by wrapping wet blanket around the charger. And Tesla has issued guidance to people to stop doing that.
The charger itself that's standing there in the middle of the parking lot, or the connection to your car?
Around the handle.
Oh, my goodness.
The handle.
I hear that's pretty dumb.
I don't even need to hear that it's dumb. I know that it's dumb.
Wow.
Because electricity and water.
Not a good idea.
No.
I just wonder who thought of that. Like, that had to come from some electrical engineer of some kind. That wouldn't have, I mean, I guess it could have come from some ding dong, but I know I'm going to wrap a wet blanket around my, that's just,
it has something to do with the temperature sensors
to cool it down in the
handle, and you're cooling it down
artificially.
When the handle, I guess, gets hot, it'll slow down the charge rate
because
it knows that something's going on, right?
You don't want your car melted.
Right. Or the handle itself. At any rate, they're telling people, don't do that, please.
Unbelievable.
And I mean, are you just paid how much money for that Tesla?
Right. Well, and you and I helped pay for it, but yes, go ahead.
Okay, all of us did.
Yeah.
But you're endangering it by wrapping a wet handle around an electrical connection. What is wrong with you?
Well, they got to charge fast there, Dennis. they don't want to sit there for 2.5 hours. They want to sit there for 2 hours. electric vehicles. In other Tesla news, I didn't know we had so much Tesla news. We're not trying to bash on them. It just happens to be the case here.
A lot of stories.
Yeah. Tesla that killed motorcyclists was in full self-driving mode. 28-year-old was mowed down. In a U.S. state where cars ordinarily aren't allowed to operate autonomously, this is in Washington State, their investigators have found that the Tesla involved in the death of a motorcyclist on Friday, April 19th, was operating a full self-drive mode. The guy actually says that he wasn't paying attention. He was looking at his phone when the car ran into the guy.
Ooh.
And so obviously, you know, the question is it the car's fault or is it the driver's fault or is it Elon's fault? I hope it's not Elon's fault. We need that guy. But it says that Washington State does not permit self-driving vehicles to operate, with the exception of companies that are in production, you know, like the Waymos of the world, who basically are not autonomous for more than 5 minutes anyways. So he actually admitted that he was paying attention to his phone and not the car as it was driving. So the moral of the story is, guys, please watch the road. I mean, the rest of us on the road are nervous enough about Teslas driving around. We like to hope that you're at least looking where you're going. And if you just understand where IT people are when it comes to this type of stuff, if you remember what happened a couple weekends ago with CrowdStrike, that should be all you need to know about a self-driving Tesla.
Yeah.
All right. Again, Elon's amazing. What he's done is amazing for all the companies he's done put together, and what he's done for this country is truly amazing. However, it's software. Please keep your eyes on the road. The rest of us would appreciate that. All right. The other thing we should talk about is, so along with Microsoft and their issues with CrowdStrike, they've been going down quite often when it comes to Azure.
Yes.
Azure, I looked up the definition, and it's a cloudless blue sky. That's the ironic definition of Azure. And of course, the Azure cloud went down due to a denial of service attack, a distributed denial of service attack that was amplified for 8 more hours because of the mitigations that were configured to prevent the denial of service attack caused more problems than they were worth.
Oh, so they made a bad problem worse, did they? Okay.
So again, you know, this issue with Microsoft and its ability to stay up and running, this actually was an outage that happened after the CrowdStrike outage, because even on the morning of the CrowdStrike outage, they also had a 365 outage as well themselves before that. So people were impacted with this outage. So the key here is that, you know, when you get hit with distributed denial of service, there's a botnet out there attacking the Azure cloud, right?
Right.
The bad guys have told all of their bots, and you could be part of this bot unwillingly. You didn't know you downloaded a software and there's malware running on it. And your computer can be called to action against Microsoft by the botnet command and control machine. And so they all go to Microsoft and try to get it to do something all at the same time. And that just brings down the resources. And unfortunately, Microsoft, their defense didn't work and caused even more of an outage. Now, they also went down yesterday, I think. They brought New Zealand down.
New Zealand? Why would they do that to the Kiwis?
I know.
Come on.
And they gave us Lord of the Rings, too. I mean, they're beautiful, right? So, you know, Microsoft's having a hard time with keeping things up and running. Now, again, they're going all the way to the bank with it. But at some point, we need to hold these companies accountable, because if you keep putting all your eggs in these baskets, again, back to the poor airlines, I think they need a spreadsheet just to know, you know, who's sitting in the seats before they can take off and know if the planes are the right weights and people in the right spots. And if they don't have access to their spreadsheet, guess what? You're not flying.
Yeah.
So all these things keep pointing back to Microsoft. And the approach that we're taking is clearly incorrect. So hopefully that we'll do a better job as IT people in defending against Microsoft. We need to work on mitigations having to do with outages caused by Microsoft that they don't seem to care about. And we need those redundancies. You got to go through your disaster recovery planning. And then you got to ask yourself as a company, you know, if I put it in the cloud, the folks at CDK found out, who, you know, 15,000 auto dealerships found out when they put it in the cloud, what they could or couldn't do. They couldn't sell cars.
Right.
Right. And all these companies, all these software companies want to rent the software to you, because that rental is much more valuable, that constant recurring revenue to rent the software, than to have it be sold to you. But when they go down, you're down. And Dennis has the most ridiculous story of rental I've ever heard, because this is nuts, what you're about to hear.
This is mind-blowing. The CEO of Logitech was interviewed.
Yes.
And she's talking about something that they're entertaining doing.
Hardware as a service, right?
Hardware as a service that you subscribe to. Right. The hardware being a mouse.
That's where we've gotten to, folks. They want to rent the mouse to you.
Right. So you'd get their mouse, you'd pay your subscription on a regular basis.
Right.
You'd be able to use the mouse.
Thanks.
There would be
Until
software.
Until you don't pay.
There would be software that runs on the computer.
Yep.
And it would give you features for the mouse, like button programming and other things.
Like you can use the scroll, you can double click.
Yeah.
You can double click your mouse.
And then as different games come out, you'd be able to, you know, trigger functions in those games and all kinds of things.
Right.
But
as long as you pay.
You have to keep paying the subscription.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I already have a hard enough time with printer rental.
Right. And even that's maybe not going to continue, right? Didn't
get out of
the business?
I think HP is getting out of that.
Yeah.
They're even thinking about getting rid of the ink subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And my neighbor is going to be bummed out.
Because she likes it.
He likes that.
Yeah.
But at any rate, you know, this is just nutty stuff.
Right.
And it's just because companies have latched onto this idea that if we have a subscription that people are paying for on a regular basis, we have cash flow.
Right.
And, you know, I get that businesses live and die by cash flow. I mean, it's what makes them run.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to have some logic to it. I mean, How do you subscribe to a piece of hardware?
Yeah, especially a mouse. I got two. I have two Logitech mice, and actually one is TJ's mouse. So that mouse is probably 20 years old.
Oh,
and I've got another one that's, you know, that's a tab mouse. It's a lot. They're both the same make of Logitech. They're good mice. I would never pay a dollar a month for them or whatever it was, because I would have already paid for them 15 times over, right? The idea that anything you're renting is much more expensive. So think about your voice over IP phone system that somebody sold it to you in the cloud. You're renting that cloud system at such a premium. They're then renting you the phones. They're giving the phones to you for free, they say, but for $25 a handset. So if you look at $25 a handset, you know, if you just bought the phone system, you could pay for that. You're going to be paying for that system every 5 years versus buying it, you know?
Right.
And to what benefit? Oh, Eric, they'll give me a new one if I break one. Of course they will. You paid for it 6 times.
Why wouldn't they at that point? Yeah.
Yeah. So you look at these and I bring it all back to the Delta CEO, right? These folks are making these types of decisions for their businesses. Yeah, let's rent phones at $25 a handset forever. That makes sense. Yeah, let's rent a mouse. That makes sense. Yeah, let's rent somebody else's server by putting it in the cloud. That makes sense. It doesn't make sense. Clearly, just by showing you what's going on, it you can't think it makes sense. So we need to get back. There's always two sides to the coin. You know, I'm pretty much I usually am the yin while everyone else is the yang. I like to zig when everyone else is zagging. And when you look at what's going on with Delta saying, we're going to rethink Microsoft. You think?
Well, I think they need to rethink a lot more than just Microsoft.
Yes, their disaster recovery, whoever the CTO is, they got to rethink a lot.
They've also got to rethink not having a test bed for their servers.
Not allowing them to update, maybe using other systems to do important functions rather than just one company's systems. Right. 40,000 servers, really?
Ugh.
Yet they had to touch 40,000 servers. You know, if you're in IT for Delta, you are just hating life.
Oh, I feel their pain over and over and over again.
Right.
I do.
And self-inflicted, purely self-inflicted. Anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I wanted to bring up a unexpected issue that can allow hackers to watch your screen.
Oh, my goodness.
It turns out that HDMI cables can leak EMF, and there are ways that hackers can decode that signal once they've captured it and see what's on your screen or part of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a proximity hack. Oh, it's near you.
Yeah, yeah, you've got to be right there. You got to be. The story that I got doesn't really talk about how close you have to be, but with an HDMI cable, especially a good one, that EMF is not going all that far.
Right.
No more than 10 feet, if that. However, there is a way to do it. And when I was reading about this, it turns out that there is an encryption method that is used inside the HDMI signal that's supposed to keep that private. But apparently, the encryption itself is kind of deficient because it tends to produce patterns, and once you've collected enough of the data, you can reverse engineer the pattern and then determine what some people are seeing.
So it's 16-bit encryption rather than 256.
Well, it's just, I mean, it can be any level of encryption, but if it keeps generating similar packets over and over and over again, you can use that redundant data to then reverse engineer the screen.
All right. We're going to take the Jimmy Carter method in paper and pencil. Do you want to keep it secure? Just don't mail it. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Wes Bryan will be with us at 10:05. We'll talk a little bit about AI and that model blowing up, eating itself. See what he has to say. So feel free to get online. Four lines wide open, 860-522-9842. We are commercial free thanks to GoNet Speed. We'll be right back.
Computer Talk with Tab is powered by GoNet Speed, bringing you lightning-fast fiber internet. Visit GoNetSpeed.com for pricing and availability.
All right, we are back. Feel free to get online. Four lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. If you want to talk about anything IT related, we're happy to do so. And again, thanks to GoNetSpeed, we are commercial free. So if you don't have anything to call us about, we will talk a lot more about our kids and our cats. Dennis's cats, my kids. My kids aren't kids anymore. You still have cats though, right?
Oh, definitely.
Awesome. So as we wait for your calls, feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. Also, we should bring up, we have our big recycling event. This is our second recycling event. It's in East Hartford. We're partnering with one of our clients, EOSI, Environmental Office, right?
Environmental Office Solutions.
Solutions. Thank you. I don't know why I had a brain fart on that. They come out and help us collect your e-waste. So come on down to East Hartford. It's going to be September 6th, I think. No, am I wrong about that?
16th, maybe?
16th? Hang on. Yeah, it's a Saturday in September. Yeah, no, it's not either of those days, as Carolyn just pointed out. It's a Saturday, definitely. I think it's going to be was it the 7th or the 14th? Yeah, I think it's the 7th. We should do a better job of knowing that date if we're going to promote it. But it's coming up. It's coming up, and we'll get more specifics.
It might be the 14th,
I'll double check. It could be the 14th.
Yeah.
The point is, get your e-waste together. Come on down to see us. We'll be broadcasting the show live that morning on this early in September. And say hi. Get rid of your e-waste so that it's protected. Not protected, but dealt with responsibly.
Responsibly, yes.
You know, that's the key. You want to make sure that your stuff is properly recycled and doesn't end up in a landfill. So we appreciate the partnership with Environmental Office. Those guys do amazing things when it comes to repurposing and recycling, and they're here in Connecticut, so it's kind of nice.
Yeah, that's just an amazing business.
So feel free to get that on your schedule once I give you the specific date, now that I'm completely confused about it. But we have a couple weekends for you to save up your e-waste. So anything else you want to talk about as we wait for your calls? 860-522-9842 is the number.
Well, I thought I'd bring up blockchain technology.
Oh, yes.
Now, before you groan.
I'll try not to.
This is not cryptocurrency.
Right.
All right. Something completely different.
That's good.
All right.
Yeah. What are we going to do with blockchain? What's the hope?
California, the state of California, is going to digitize car titles, and they're going to store them on a blockchain.
Okay.
And that will, at least theoretically, keep those records secure.
Mm.
Now, this is not a cryptocurrency blockchain, which grows as people mine and add, new crypto to it.
Right.
It's not going to be expanding at an exponential rate the way some of those do.
Okay, that's good news. So you won't have too much power.
Right. You're not going to require a lot of computational power. Mm. It can only grow according to the number of cars that get registered in the state of California.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a finite number of, records or transactions that get put into this blockchain.
All right.
So you're not tying up a whole lot of resources compared to using a cryptocurrency.
So I guess the big question is why? What? Who came up with this idea?
Well,
like, they want to do this.
Number one, it's for security. And number two, it's because it's so easy, apparently, to forge physical titles.
And this is going to
prevent
that.
And there has been a problem with that in California, I guess.
Hmm.
I mean, they probably are the largest DMV in the country. They must be.
Yeah.
And they must deal with a lot of title fraud to a degree that other states probably don't face.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the ways that they're handling that.
All right. That's interesting.
It's interesting. And I'm the reason I bring it up is because I think there are useful purposes that can be used with blockchain technology.
All right, yeah.
It's simply a database, but it's distributed.
Right.
And you can have a copy of it for yourself, and I can have a copy of it for myself, and everything gets combined into it.
Yeah.
And it's redundant.
They check each other. We check each other to make sure our chain is the same as your chain, and so that it's not
the
being
one
tampered
thing,
with.
The one thing about a blockchain that is really amazing is that it backs itself up
mm-hmm.
constantly. So you don't have the issue of it getting ransomed, let's say. You can have a transaction get ransomed that then gets put into the blockchain,
mm-hmm.
but the entire blockchain itself can't be ransomed, because even if I've got it on my computer and my computer gets ransomed,
yeah.
well, you've got a copy on yours.
Yeah.
And that one hasn't been ransomed.
Right.
So
well, we're all running Microsoft, so what about
that's another issue.
So the California DMV is going to use blockchain to try to prevent title
fraud.
Yeah. Well, we can probably predict how that's going to go.
I'm not saying it's the answer. I'm just saying it's a constructive use of
blockchain,
if that makes sense.
It does.
And it's one of the things that I've been wondering about ever since I heard about blockchain is when is somebody going to come up with something good to do with it?
Right.
This might be one of them,
yeah,
for all we know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still early in the process. We don't know what the fallout's going to be.
Right. Didn't like a tea company out there in Long Island call themselves Blockchain Tea? And
yeah, but all they did was name themselves
that. Was a
they
good
weren't
thing.
Doing anything with blockchain. They
Sounds
just
about
called
right.
themselves that.
Sounds about right. Are you hearing that interference on your headset?
No.
No? All right, good. I've got some serious crackling going on there, Carolyn. I don't know what it's all about. So, interesting. Blockchain being used for titles.
Yep.
Still four lines wide open. I guess you guys are all sleeping. 860-522-9842. Or our phones don't work.
That might be the case.
Yeah, I don't know. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842. Yeah. Carolyn wants to talk about an issue.
Yeah.
Come on, Carolyn.
Carolyn,
what do you
what's
got?
Up?
Yeah, so hello, everyone. Yeah, so as we're talking about stuff, I know every so often we'll have some callers calling about scam emails or phishing emails. So I unfortunately received one this week, but thankfully I work on this show. And I also have to do a number of trainings to make sure I don't click on suspicious links. So I was happy I didn't fall for it, but it's probably one of the most convincing ones I've ever seen. It was spooky.
So this wasn't a simulation. This was an actual fish?
No, it was real.
Wow, what were they trying to get you to do? What was it about?
It was from Xfinity saying service was going to be shut off because the payment didn't go through.
Right.
Oh.
But it had, like, the logos. It had, like, at the bottom, you'll start to see, like, the location, like the location for the company.
Yep.
And the address and everything.
Yep.
Thankfully, I clicked on the address to see the real email was a bunch of gibberish.
Right.
So I knew not to respond to anything, but, you know, opening it, it was like, oh my gosh, like there wasn't misspellings and all those things they typically tell you to look out for.
Right. So it was a very professional fish and you avoided it. We're very proud of you, Carolyn. Thank you for
way to go.
Yeah. For being vigilant. Those fishes can be really, really tough. We do have a program that we offer our customers. A training program. We actually are, you know, doing that same simulated phishing. We're trying to trick you into click on it, you know, seeing who the clickers are within an organization. They get more training. If they do tend to click, we even give you a letter grade. And a lot of times it's actually responsible if you're going to have cyber insurance. You need good phishing security awareness training. It's not just going to train you on emails to look out for, but it's going to train you on all sorts of cybersecurity aspects that you should be paying attention to.
Right. And it even goes over physical security, you know, things like don't just take a USB stick that you find somewhere and stick it in your computer.
Even if it says payroll.
Along those lines, we had a Facebook question this week from one of our listeners.
Go for it.
And he's talking about something similar. He got a very, very official looking fish from somebody.
Yeah.
It was asking how, how this might have come in and whether it was associated with a breach at the VA, but it could be from any number of breaches that somebody could have gotten his email address and his name.
Yeah.
In this case, it was a fish that had to do with a bank that he didn't do business with. So he didn't do anything with the email.
That's good.
But, you know, and he's just asking, you know, how does this happen? It happens very easily. It's way too easy.
Yeah, because there's so many breaches out there, you're going to see a lot of phishing having to do with CrowdStrike and other things like that. Anything to do with anything that's going on.
One of the things that was happening was that people were, people that were trying to deal with the CrowdStrike problem were doing searches for it. And there were you know, fake websites telling you how to fix it, or better yet, you know, call us and we'll do it for you.
Right. So then you get tricked again.
Yeah, you get tricked again. You have to pay them some money, and they don't end up doing anything anyway because they can't do anything about your computer.
Right.
So
they're thieves. So all right, let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Stefan in New Britain. What's going on, Stefan?
Gentlemen.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning. What can we do for you, sir?
I have a couple of questions involving my cell phone.
Yep.
I would like to switch my cell phone carrier because I don't feel like funding people that are actually working against what I believe in.
All right.
And what's your opinion of secondary carriers?
I use one. I use Google Fi as a secondary carrier.
Okay.
You need to have a SIM that's going to be programmable, or you'll need to pop out your existing SIM and get a new SIM if the new carrier you're using offers it.
Yeah,
but yeah, they're good.
Currently, there's going to be a second question. Currently, I have a Galaxy S6 Active.
Yep.
And it's a very durable phone.
Yep.
I mean, I like the durability of it. And I've been looking up Samsung's latest offerings for durability, and people are like, yeah, kind of durable. And I was wondering if you happen to know of a durable cell phone, doesn't have to be 5G, with 18 cameras and thermal, that is actually durable and is not made in China.
That's a lot. That last piece is tough.
The last one, I don't know how you get around.
Yeah. I'm a Pixel fan. Again, I'm a Google Pixel fan. I mean, for all the things that Google does that I don't agree with, Pixel has done a good job as far as a quality phone. It's very durable. And if you get a good case, I like the mouse cases, MOUS, they're very durable cases. It's really half the battle. So, I mean, I've had good luck with those. What about you, Dennis? What do you like for your cell phones that are durable?
Well, there were some at one point that were made by Kyocera.
Oh.
That were durable phones.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that there are like HVAC companies that will give those to their technicians.
Oh, okay.
Because they can, you know, they can get splashed on and they can go into high temperature and low temperature settings and still work or at least not get damaged.
Hmm.
But I'm not sure if Kyocera is still making phones.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think they do anymore.
So really, it's going to rely on a good quality case these days.
Yeah, having a good case is going to be probably even more important than having a durable phone.
Yeah.
So
what do you think of LifeProof? Because they used to make a really good case.
What was the name again? I didn't hear it.
LifeProof.
Oh, LifeProof? Yeah, I have heard that they're pretty good cases.
Yeah, they have a good reputation.
Yeah.
Because the environment in which I work is challenging to a cell phone. and it could get dropped in liquids that are not water. And
what are you, brewing beer over there, Stefan?
No. Just coolant. It's oil and water.
Yeah.
So I need something that's going to be durable that way.
Yep.
And I was just wondering, because I really don't see anything on the market that's as durable as what I have, which is basically, I think, designed for guys that went overseas in Afghanistan and Iraq and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, the Pixels do have a mil-spec of durability when it comes to what they do, but no, I hear you.
Yeah, and that's what. And also, why does my new laptop keep disconnecting from my Wi-Fi? Do they do that when you shut them off? They just disconnect or what?
When you shut them off, they do.
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you turn off the laptop, it'll disconnect.
Yeah, it would have to.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure because it takes a minute or two for it to reacquire the signal.
When you power it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to try to find the signal you set to be the automatic connection, and then it should reacquire it.
It might. How old's the laptop?
2 years.
All right, so it's fairly current technology as far as Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
The only thing I could suggest is see if there's a newer driver for it that might that might do that recovery process maybe a little more quickly. But okay. you're kind of dealing with the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be in the updates for the operating system?
Not for the operating system. What you'd have to do is go to your manufacturer's website. And then look up your particular laptop. Most of them you can now do a lookup on the serial number, and it will tell you exactly what the hardware is and if there are any new drivers available.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right.
Thank you two very much.
Thank you for checking in, Stefan.
If Stefan or anybody is interested in durable phones, Mike G just found an article that goes over some reviews.
Oh, great.
It's from Tech Radar. So
we'll put that up there for you.
Yep.
Thanks, Mike. All right. Let's go to Rich in Glastonbury next. What's going on there, Rich?
Hi. How you doing this morning?
Not too bad. How are you, sir?
All right. You got my question, I assume?
Something about an issue with an old Dell.
I have an older Dell laptop. Yep. I just switched over to GoNet Speed.
Yeah.
And I can't get it to recognize or find the modem or whatever you want to say. I can it works fine if I hardwire it, but I can't get it to do wireless. Called NetSpeed. I called GoNet, and they said, "Oh, it's your wireless card in the computer."
Yeah, if it's old enough, it might not have hardware that's able to connect with it.
Yeah, that is possible. But how old is it? Are you talking 10 plus years old?
It's an i3. I can tell you that much.
It doesn't tell us the age.
Exactly. No.
So there's a.
It's probably 8 or 9. I'll be honest with you.
All right. Well, it may have Wi-Fi 11. N, and it's possible that it can't talk to your router. If that's the case, then you can get a USB stick.
Right.
That's a newer Wi-Fi connector, and it will have the hardware that will talk to the new router.
Okay. Do you have any recommendations on that? Or just
We can find one for you.
Yeah, we can find one. It. But you could probably go to your local Staples and get one.
Yeah, just look for Wi-Fi 6 capable adapter.
Okay. I didn't know if that was something they couldn't figure out or if it was just...
Given the age of the equipment, the relative age, new router, an 8 or 9 year old computer, I would just guess that it's a hardware incompatibility.
Okay. I appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you, Rich.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. That is part of the snag, right? You update something, and then your old thing doesn't work anymore. That happens a lot with technology. Also, if you haven't updated your technology, we have clients that have 6, 7 year old WAPs that are out there, wireless access points, and you've been bringing in newer and newer technology, and those old access points don't have the ability to deliver on that new technology. So the new equipment is not taking advantage of what it could connect at.
Right.
And the newer access points also can handle, are smarter. They can deliver Wi-Fi in a better way. And so along with, the issues of oversubscribing and what have you. So it's always once you upgrade one thing, it's like pushing down one bubble, another bubble pops up kind of thing. That's IT. It's one of those pay me now, pay me later things. You got to update.
Yeah, or they also call it whack-a-mole.
Yeah. We're whacking some moles, I'll tell you. Let's go to Sue in West Hartford. Hey, Sue. Oh, hang on. I don't see it. You there, Sue? Sue, you there?
How you doing?
Oh, there she is. Okay. She was on with Carolyn. What can we do for you?
Hi. I'm wondering if you'll entertain this question because you are sponsored by GoNetSpeed. So we are looking to change our carrier from the cable carrier to fiber.
Yeah.
So whether it's GoNetSpeed versus Frontier for where we're located. And I think they just ran the line for GoNetSpeed down our street.
Nice.
But why go with one versus the other? You know what I mean?
I'll just give you the simple answer that has nothing to do with either company. GoNetSpeed brought your internet service down and even gave you these options because they entered the market. Had GoNetSpeed not entered the market, Frontier wouldn't have bothered with fiber, right?
Right.
So it's competitive for Frontier to stay alive, right?
Exactly. So, okay. so you got some competition because the folks at GoNetSpeed said, you know what, we're going to help Connecticut and we're going to give you an alternative option. That's just a simple answer. So rewarding a company like that would be my choice. Secondarily, they have a good quality product. They were just ranked one of the best broadband companies in the area. So they're getting great reviews of their service. Their service is also very competitively priced. And guess what? You have alternatives. So the beauty of choosing the GoNetSpeed folks who actually brought your internet prices down, if they didn't work out for some crazy reason, you could go to the Frontier, right? We have choices finally. You could even go wireless. Yeah. So for those reasons, for them coming to save Connecticut from itself, I mean, the incumbent lawmakers we have in Connecticut just did everything they could to keep the incumbent internet providers in control. Why do you think he only had two? Because of the lawmakers that we have in our state. Now we have competition, finally. I mean, internet is something that we, you know, would be happy with at 100 megabits. Yeah, thanks. No, we want...
Right, but you don't know unless you have... You don't know what you're missing until you have something else. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So, well, we knew what we were missing. The lawmakers didn't care. Right. So, yeah, those are the reasons. They were definitely voted as one of the best in the area. They're bringing down your internet prices, period, just by existing. I would tell you to give them a shot. But, yes, they are sponsoring our program. But we told you this before they sponsored our program.
No, I'll tell you what. I was listening to you, I would say, 5 years ago, and I remember you guys talking about GoNetSpeed and how much you liked it and thought it was a great product.
Right.
And I think their pricing was great at that point. I don't have to look. Like I said, this is a husband decision. So just.
What do you mean? It's a committee decision. It's not a husband. We husbands know it's a committee.
That's right. So just a little push. That's all. So.
Yeah, I would tell you, I mean, how many folks are in your home?
There's four of us, and we've got some gamers.
Okay, they're going to love you for it.
If you
do 500-500 for the speed, you're going to be great. Now, if you go ahead and upgrade to fiber and you have that 500-500 bandwidth, you now got to go to look at your internal network to make sure it can support it. Make sure your switches are gigabit switches. Right. Make sure your access points can handle those bandwidths, because if you don't improve your internal network, you're not going to see the benefits of the internet service you've just chosen. So keep that in mind.
Okay, I will. And my husband's kind of in that field, so he should know that stuff. But I will.
Add that
to the list.
We hope we know these things, but sometimes we don't. Even I found a 100 megabit switch in my system after I went to GoNetSpeed. So now, don't think your husband knows it. Just tell him to go over those things, though. Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, guys.
Oh, you're welcome, Sue, and good luck. Either way.
Have a good day. Thanks.
You too. Bye-bye. Yeah, I mean, we should be thankful that we actually have competition in the state. It'd be great to have even more, but GoNetSpeed is at least bringing in that competition, in which it brings the incumbents' prices down. Now you're looking at your Cox bill going down, hopefully. You're looking at your Comcast bill going down, hopefully. You're looking at Frontier offering things at a lower price, all thanks to competition. Wow, who'd have thunk it? Now let's talk about electricity suppliers and see if we can figure out how to, you know, maybe we can do adopt a poll so that we can, you know, the transmission lines that one company is servicing us with and these electric bills that we're seeing. Wouldn't it be nice if we had some competition? Can we figure this out? I mean, it is America. Let's see if we can figure this out. Why must we have one provider of electricity? You know, maybe we can buy our poles within each town and disassociate a company like Eversource, who doesn't seem to be able to keep their prices down. But of course, you see all these issues that we're talking about with electricity, and who's to blame? Well, the same legislatures who got us the poor internet connections, right? I mean, the same people, guys. We're here in, you know, you want to make it in Connecticut, but you look at your power bills. Yeesh.
Yeah.
Can't we fix that? Well, not the way we've been going with the folks who are making our rules here, because lots of folks are pretty upset about their electric bills, and they really should be. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to stick around. Wes Bryan will be joining us after the break, and we'll be talking about AI and how AI might be eating itself. And the actual date of the e-cycling event is neither the 7th, or the 14th.
Oh!
It's the 21st.
Oh, way off.
Oh, my goodness. So now we'll promote that correctly, but we'll be taking your e-cycling. Saturday, the 21st, will be a remote broadcast of Computer Talk with Tab from the Tab Computer Systems World Headquarters, where we were hermetically sealed for a few years broadcasting the program, Bob and I. So put that on your calendar that the 21st of September is when you can get your e-cycling responsibly e-cycled, your electronic equipment from the folks at Environmental Office Solutions in East Hartford will be joining us to do that. So stick around, guys. Everything we've talked about has been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you follow us on Facebook over at Tab, the Tab Computer Systems Listener Network, it's a private group. You just ask to join. We'll let you in, unless you're just a crazy crackpot. You can follow everything there that we're putting out for you as well. And if you follow us on X at Tab Computer Sys, you'll get it as well. We'll be right back.